It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you for joining us on a scorching hot day in Central PA. We got intern Nathan with us. Nathan, I like the heat, man, but this is brutal. Walking in here, I just like melting. I'm ready to get back into the 80s.
100% agree with you. I mean, it's a little too hot. You know, I'm driving here, I'm sweating. I don't know if I like that. But
can you get out and do anything in this stuff?
It's difficult. It's really tough to do. I mean, you can maybe push through it, but I'm telling you what, you're getting sunburned, you're feeling, you know, sweaty after.
My heart goes out. I mentioned this the other day. My heart goes out to people that work outside in this kind of stuff. There are so many people in our society that are, you know, road workers, construction workers, people doing roofing. I mean, there are a lot of people that work outside. I don't know how people do that like this. Breaking news here in the last hour or so, the Lakers are going to hire J.J. Redick as their new coach. He's got no coaching experience whatsoever, and yet they're going to turn over an NBA franchise to him, one of the most storied NBA franchises. What do you think of that? The guy's never coached before. He's a TV analyst. He likes to run his mouth. I actually like J.J. Redick. He says a lot of crap. He talks a lot of crap on a lot of people, and he brings heat on himself. Does that make him qualified to coach an NBA team?
It definitely doesn't make him qualified to. I mean, I doubt he's going to, you know, exceed. I doubt he's going to do that much as a coach because, quite frankly, NBA coaches are a gimmick. They're just there to, you know, kind of maybe, you know, run the organization. But, you know, LeBron, if he's on that roster, he's going to be the one coaching the team. So, you know, Redick's there. They can bounce ideas off each other. He's very, very smart, you know, basketball mind, very intelligent. But it's just the state of NBA coaches nowadays. It's usually your stars are on the team at that point.
Got Rob in Bedford joining us. What's up, buddy? How you doing, pal?
Oh man, I just came in from it. Good God!
Can you accomplish anything on a day like this?
I just had to walk a couple of blocks, and it's just beat you down. And I was working, but I want to echo something you said, and then I want to say, but I absolutely, my heart goes out to anybody that is forced to work in this nonsense. You have mouths to feed, you have bills to pay. I get it. However, if you're one of those dolts that just have to go running every day so you can post it on social media, or you're out there being a fool, like, this is dangerous. It really, I struggle for my heartstrings to be yanked at much at all.
I'm only laughing because I do respect the people that get out and run a lot. Are you a runner, Nathan?
I like to run, yeah.
Do you run a lot?
Yeah, I do.
I don't
run. Not in this weather.
I don't run unless, like, people are chasing me. I'm going to drive. So it's always fascinating to me, like, people that will get out and run, like, 5, 8, 10 miles a day and stuff like that. I mean, I have mad respect for you, but I'm kind of with you, Rob, of, like, on a day like this, take care of yourself. Be sure
right.
You protect yourself.
There's a time and a place. I mean, most of the year is fit for that. I used to do a long commute to Johnstown every morning, and I used to see this elderly gentleman at the same spot almost every day going to work. And sometimes he would be out there, like, shuffling down the road at best when it would be zero or below. And I respected that the guy wanted to keep himself healthy and in shape. But, like, even when it's frigid, don't do it either. I've been in wrecks when it's cold like that, and it's not where you want to be. Some people need to. Someone needs to save them from themselves.
My wife just got the AC fixed in her car, like, literally, like, 2 weeks ago. So she drove around all last summer without it. I remember I had a summer growing up in Arkansas without AC. I just drove around with the windows down all the time. You have AC in your car?
Oh, Rob? Absolutely.
Nathan, you have AC in the car?
I do. I don't use that. I roll down the windows most of the
time. Yeah, if possible, I try to keep the windows down. But again, on days like this, man, it is so brutal out there. Anybody out there braving all this with no AC and just, if you've got to spend a lot of time in your car, that's tough.
This is so off topic, but this is like something childish that I've never been able to shake my entire adult life. Since we don't have many roundabouts in our area, you do encounter them in some of the surrounding areas, but I can't go through a roundabout without doing like three circles. I'll be like, look, honey, Big Ben Parliament, like on
right, vacation. Yeah. It's funny you say that. I have no idea how in the world we move any of that to roundabouts. I encounter a roundabout every month or two. There's one over in Hollidaysburg in one neighborhood. I remember going up to Syracuse. I don't understand. I don't get the friggin' point of a roundabout. I don't understand the city planning, strategic, logistical advantage of what the hell you need a roundabout for. I mean, they're so seldom used anywhere that when you do come upon one, I'm always flummoxed of like, why did they do this?
Flummoxed. That was a good word.
That's a good word. That's a pretty damn good word.
I love a 50-cent word when it's appropriate, especially in a daily vernacular. But when I get to a roundabout, I generally look and I say, this looks like a perfect place for an intersection, like a stop.
Exactly.
Line, a couple
right.
of stop
like
signs.
The rest like, of the damn world has intersections.
It's still a square, right? I mean, there's so many different options. It's like a show. It's almost like, look at my nice house. Look at my roundabout in my community.
Nathan,
I don't get them either.
You see why Rob and I are friends? I don't know what the hell he's even talking about. We're talking about heat and he's talking about roundabouts.
It goes all over the place.
That's how
it.
My mind
it.
Works also. We'll be talking.
We have similar, we have a lot in common, but I welcome any of you to join my mind for
real
an
quick,
hour.
I've only got 3 minutes. I got to take a break, so we're going to have a guest on here at 4:15. But I want to ask Nathan this, and you're good for this. I want to ask Nathan about the discussion I had yesterday about Michael Jordan. So the discussion yesterday was about the best baseball player of all time, because some people think it's Willie Mays, and I gave all these reasons why it's absolutely Babe Ruth. The guy won 94 games as a pitcher and had a 2.28 career ERA as a pitcher. So nobody's ever done that. I want to ask you, so I made a comment yesterday that in 50 years, maybe not even that many, I don't know how many people are still going to consider Michael Jordan the greatest player of all time. Now, you're 19. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time?
Michael Jordan.
How many games did you ever see Michael Jordan play while you were alive?
Zero.
How many games will your kids ever see while they're alive?
Zero.
Okay. So how will that translate to the next generations when we can tell you specifically, how great Michael Jordan was, and you can then tell your kids how great Michael Jordan was, but I'll guarantee you in 30 years— there will be a large, large, large percentage of basketball people in this country. And I said 50 years. Yeah, because we'll be all be dead in 50 years. Anybody who saw Jordan play will be dead in 50 years. How will Michael Jordan's legacy last once you get to the point where, well, he's not even the all-time leading scorer. LeBron's the all-time leading scorer. LeBron got to all the – why isn't LeBron – you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, exactly. I think the reason why his legacy will be preserved is probably the documentary, because I think that's going to kind of, you know, be shown to
– but he comes across as such a gigantic a-hole in that documentary.
He does, but then, you know –
are people going to – are they going to be endeared to that 30 years from now?
I guarantee people consider Bill Belichick the greatest coach in, you know, 30 years from now, and he's considered an a-hole. So I don't
– yeah?
I don't think it's really going to matter. I think, you know, every politician's an a-hole. Everybody's –
you
know, everybody
like you
in
said.
Power,
that's good.
The best in their position is typically an a-hole. So, I mean, honestly, I don't think it's going to, you know.
What do you think, Rob? You got
if, they, if they're able to get past not only the documentary, but that Hall of Fame speech I sent you, that's just a giant tantrum that he throws on stage at the worst possible time. However, most people can plug right through that. To answer that question, if you're like a baseball nerd, you're going to probably throw this name in there. But if you're just a casual fan, how often, and this is only arguably, but how often if you hear someone say greatest baseball of all time, do you ever hear Ty Cobb? Now, he was an enormous a-hole on top of it. However, he still was amazing. And you don't, outside of historians, baseball geeks, you don't hear people say his name because it's been time cleansed. It's so long ago, it didn't happen.
Well, like I said yesterday,
our athletes will get there.
Nobody has seen Babe Ruth play. No, pretty much very few people alive saw Babe Ruth play. I can give you a billion reasons statistically why he's better than Willie Mays, but some people saw Willie Mays. We're in a movement now where we want to be inclusive of everybody, and Willie Mays was probably a better all-around player, but he never pitched. So that's my point of how do you keep a legacy going when no one has seen you play?
it's time cleansing. Like I said, enough distance. And Ty Cobb hit like 330 when he was in his early 40s. And no one knows that, and no one talks about it. Enough time will pass that it'll be people get handcuffed and caught in the moment, and all of them, they'll fall down the rankings.
Thanks, man. Nathan, I'll give you the last word on this. There will be more basketball players in the next 30 to 50 years who are just amazing, and I guarantee that the movement will then start to become just like we look at Bill Russell now or Wilt Chamberlain. Well, why is Michael Jordan the greatest player again? This guy scored more points. Luka averaged 33.9 this year. That's probably better than all but two or three of probably Michael Jordan's best seasons.
It's going to be tough, you know, to preserve the legacy. Like I said, I think the documentary helps. I think the fact that there's a lot of film on him, too. Bill Russell, you know, he's playing in the 50s and 60s, so maybe there wasn't as much, you know, action, you know,
right,
caught on camera and stuff. So I think Jordan, everything's documented from his, you know, UNC days till, you know, the 98 finals. Everything's documented. You can go back, watch it all. It'll be easily accessible. I think it's going to preserve his legacy just fine.
All right, stick around. We got a great guest coming up here in a couple of minutes. Anthony Snare, who is the president of the Hollidaysburg Area Summer Baseball League. We're going to talk some youth baseball. We're going to talk about the impact of the Little League World Series team from a couple years ago, what that made on the Hollidaysburg community, how much it's impacted the Hollidaysburg Baseball League. Good discussion coming up here with Anthony Snare in a moment.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
Recently at J&P Auto Mart, an SUV that was in one of the dealership's garages caught fire. Thankfully, no one was injured as the fire occurred during evening hours when they weren't open. The vehicle, however, was a total loss. J&P Auto Mart would like to thank nearby neighbors, the Altoona Police, and fire departments for their quick action during this occurrence, and they want to assure you that they're open for business as usual. Come check out their large selection of cars, trucks, and SUVs. J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona. They started 65 years ago, and they're still open.
If you're a customer of Davison Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davison Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davison Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davison Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davison Snacks Outlet.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
No one knows the importance of a great assist more than Lowe's and Leo Messi. That's why we've teamed up to give My Lowe's Rewards members 10 times the points when Messi makes an assist during CONMEBOL Copa America USA 2024. Activate this offer starting June 20th, so when Messi assists, you score. Shop the day after an assist to earn those extra points. Not a My Lowe's Rewards member? Join for free today.
I want to learn how to cook, but I keep ordering takeout.
Accomplishing goals is hard, but when your goal is to learn a new language, Babbel makes it easy. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel will help you start having conversations in as little as 3 weeks. Words and phrases you'll actually use. So when someone asks,
"How's your French going?"
you can say,
"Babbel facilite grandement l'apprentissage d'une nouvelle langue."
Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
All right, welcome back. Have a super conversation here. I'm looking forward to this. Kind of pick the brain of Anthony Snare. He is the president of the Hollidaysburg Area Summer Baseball League. Anthony, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Good. How you doing, Corey?
All right. A couple years ago, the Hollidaysburg kids advanced to the Little League World Series. Really captured the whole region's heart. You're the president of the league over there now, and I just want to kind of look back with you a little bit and then also look ahead of what that team meant to the Hollidaysburg community, Anthony. It's been a couple years now. How often do you still hear, either at the ball field or around town, about the Little League World Series team?
I mean, it's not as much as it was, let's say, a year ago, but even when I read the paper about the Hollidaysburg varsity team, they mentioned they were in the front row. Mm-hmm. So you still hear a good bit about them.
All right, so what did that group mean to the Hollidaysburg Area Summer Baseball League? I mean, you guys have been a successful program, but what did that group mean?
I mean, it brought the community together, which I think is the most important part of the whole aspect of the Summer League. But, I mean, you watched them from the time that they were, you know, 6, 7 years old, the whole way up through the system. It's just something that remarkable throughout the community.
I remember
the community togetherness.
I remember talking to some folks in the league, you know, oh, yeah, you're going to want to look out for these. How much did everybody know when you were watching these kids at 8, 9, 10 years old? How much did everybody know that group had a chance to be really special?
You could tell they were special. I mean, their fundamentals were better than most that we would see that, you know, coming through. You know, just the knowledge of the game, knowing where to be on the field, you know, making routine plays look easy, stuff like that.
How much pride is there then, Anthony, from what that group accomplished? Again, you'll still see and hear people talk about them. What do they say? What do they say about those kids?
Oh, they mean they're pretty much like celebrities to it. I guess,
yeah, right.
I guess would be the best way to put it. I mean, at 12 years old, to have people wanting your autograph and, you know, would people recognizing you. I mean, stuff like that, you can't. I mean, it's obviously a different status.
What were you doing? How were you watching the games? Did you go to all the games? Did you watch some on TV?
Well,
I mean,
throughout the process, I couldn't make it up to Connecticut, which I wish I would have been able to see the Mid-Atlantic. I've been something, you know, that's kind of like a once in a lifetime thing, especially when your leg's there. But we had a tournament actually at, I think it was a 10 or 12 year old tournament at the field, and everybody was on their phones watching them the whole way. You could see everybody around the field watching ESPN+, which was, that was even the teams that were obviously not even from our league. So the community togetherness, like we were down in, I mean, at a Tussey Mountain tournament, they're like, how are they doing? Like, what's going on? You know, everybody asking about it was something that we've seen the whole way from, you know, the state college area, the Johnstown, just everybody in, just tuned into the TVs. It was great.
You know, it's funny that there are things in your life you kind of always remember where you were, you know, from disasters or great things. My family, we were at Aki one night overeating the hibachi, and all of a sudden the game comes on TV, and my wife's getting all angry at me because I keep going over watching the TV while we're supposed to be watching the guy making the food in front of us. But I remember that, and I didn't really know those kids very well. I knew one of the kids a little bit, but I noticed so many people that really did that too. They made sure that they were tuning in to every single game.
It was great. Even my dad said, he was like, I was down here and they're watching, everybody's watching. I'm like, it's definitely unreal. But even going up the amount of people, like, you know, we organized, got a bunch of people on buses to go up and see the games. And I mean, it just, the outreach was great. I mean, the one thing though, if you're going to sit on that hill, make sure you take a cutoff, cut off lawn chair with the legs cut off, because that is a must. If not, you're going to be sore the next day.
One thing I wanted to kind of get an idea from you, Anthony Snare is the president of the league in Hollidaysburg, is how you built that, how you got there. Because, look, there's not another Little League sanctioned league associated with Williamsport within this region, right, Anthony? Where's the next closest
Tyrone,
one other than you?
Tyrone State College, they're both Little League International.
And Altoona is not. How did
none of the Altoona leagues are like nothing Hawaii until you get to like Johnstown.
How did your league then build that? When did you become associated with Williamsport? And what was the process to build it up to where it was?
Well, I think about like 2016, Steve Marty was the president back then. It was a little bit before me, a little bit before my son started getting involved with the lake. But that's when they decided, like, hey, this is something we could do. This is something different. You know, nobody's doing this around here. You know, our system, you know, can definitely produce maybe some good ball players. Let's see what we can do.
What's the benefit of being associated with Williamsport as opposed to, again, none of the three Altoona Little Leagues are? Bellwood is not. I think Bellwood used to be maybe a years back. What's the benefit of being associated with, and what are some of the difficulties or challenges of being associated with Williamsport?
I mean, I guess they give a good bit of direction when it comes to their bylaws and rules and everything that we can piggyback off of. I mean, and then that's some of the drawbacks too. I mean, having to follow their rules or their protocols and everything. So, I mean, it's kind of like it's a give and take situation.
That's what I've always heard, that Williamsport, they're, I don't know if strict is the right way to do it, but you're not really going to get away with doing your own local league bylaws that are, you know, counter to what Williamsport says.
And the great thing about it too is because we're following their, you know, we're essentially following their lead. We're not changing our roles every 5 years to benefit, you know, whoever might be involved with the league.
Where is the Hollidaysburg Little League right now? What in terms of the amount of talent here? Because that team set the bar so high a couple years ago. Is there reason to hope that this could be somewhat, you know, whether a regular occurrence or not, getting to Williamsport, but a regular occurrence of having a shot to get there?
Yeah, and I'm saying, I mean, obviously that's a little bit of lightning in the bottle with our lake size, because you're coming up against, like, you look at State College, they have double the amount of kids that we have. So, I mean, just from that aspect, so they have a bigger pool to pull from. But, I mean, we have plenty of talent. The kids work hard. I mean, you see people down the field all the time hitting, all the time practicing. That's what it's all about, more reps. And, I mean, any group at any time can make the run. I mean, we won our district probably for the last 5-6 years. So, I mean, getting through the first stage we've been able to do, it's when you get to the sectional level and you're down to four teams where you're bringing in somebody from like the Northern Lebanon was out of like Lycoming or down towards Reading last year. And then you got Johnstown and Indiana. I mean, you're always bringing in top level talent. You have a good pitcher, anything can happen.
Anthony Snare, president of the Hollidaysburg Area Summer Baseball League, joins us. Now, you have a turf field. The Altoona Area Correct. Baseball Association, they have two. The other two Altoona Little Leagues do not have a turf field. But you have a turf field over there. What's the advantage of having that for your facility?
We can definitely get more games in. Because, like, obviously, if it, you know, we're not having the clean mud or quick dry filled up to try to get it playable. I'd say that's a major advantage. I said from a coaching aspect, when you finally get to the Little Lake level, you're not dragging fields and lining fields. So that's always a plus too. But I think it helps us get more games in where we would still probably be not into the playoffs if we didn't have it.
The Altoona Mirror just has a story today that there's a new field for just 13-year-olds that has been constructed in Altoona. Can you give some insight into what the level of youth baseball is around the whole region? I know you're in Hollidaysburg, so I don't know how much you get to see Altoona, but just in general, you know, youth baseball, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, how much it's changed now? Because you're talking, it's pretty much a year-long thing. We got a bunch of travel organizations in the area. These kids are playing. I've always guessed, Anthony, I don't know if this is for a fact, that those Little League World Series kids had to have played 100 games that year.
I wouldn't be able to answer that, but they played a good bit of baseball.
Yeah, with all their travel and everything. So how much where is our region right now with regards to the emphasis on youth baseball?
Well, obviously it's out there. I mean, but you look at the Altoona Area Association, they have a good bit of kids too, and but like on our end, we've seen, I can speak for the last 6 years that I've been involved as a commissioner on the board and everything like that aspect, that we've seen nothing but growth. I would say probably 100 more kids than we had 5 years ago, like in our organization from six the whole way up to 13.
100 more kids?
Then we probably had 5-6 years.
Now, how much of that is just baseball growing? How much of that is maybe a remnant from the Little League World Series push versus, you know, you got to turn, you know, what do you attribute all that to?
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. I think we've grown. I mean, a lot of people, there's not as much in the communities as I think there was years ago. Like, I can take my kid down to the ball field and drop him off and let him run around. I mean, that they're few and far between. I think. So I think that it gives us a little bit of a push on, you know, the atmosphere. You want to be down there. You want to be part of it.
All right. So where are we right now? Your league is involved in playoffs this week. For people who don't necessarily follow the schedule of, you know, these kids trying to make it throughout the postseason and ultimately hopefully get to Williamsport. How does that schedule work right now? What are the tournaments that are coming up?
So we have different levels. So we have a 10-year Little League International team, a 10 and under, 11 and under, 12 and under, and a 50, 70, and 13 under. And we actually have a senior team, too, which will be consistent of some of the Haldiesburg players from the varsity level. But right now we start the 10s play on Sunday, the 11s play on Monday, and the 12s play on Monday. And the 50, 70 team starts like July 2nd.
And how does that process work? What does, say, the 12-year-old team have to do?
Right now, the 10s, 11, and 12s are in the district. So you'll go through, like, a district bracket. And we were moved from District 11 to District 5. So District 5 has a east and a west. So we'll send two teams to the sectional level, which that's what we hosted last year, the sectional tournament. And essentially, so that it's a five-team bracket, double elimination, starting, let's say, Monday.
How much better do you think youth baseball is than maybe when you were playing as a kid? You know, I tell people all the time.
Well, Corey, I always feel that I was probably a top of the line player. You know,
that's okay.
So I don't know if they were my level. No, I'd say it's definitely a different game. I think there's a lot of there's a lot more reps, and you can tell the swings are better, and the fielding, you know, the fielding's better, things to that aspect. There's a lot more put into it back than us going down to the sandlot and practicing.
That's
these
right.
Guys have more of a skilled hitting off tees and being coached, where I didn't go to an ERA or something like that.
I just went out and we ran
down to the field and we played all day.
I remember, you know, I played 25, 28 games and, like, I don't know, whatever. But now.
Correct. Yeah, something like that.
Now correct. These kids, again, my boy played 90 games last year, and I tell people that and they're like, what? That's crazy. And I'm like, it is crazy because there's just so many things out there to do. But the specialization, we do have ERA. We're lucky to have a tremendous facility. We've got some other facilities around here. I have to think, though, that these kids, with all the reps they're getting, just by and large,
yeah, they got more an advantage than we did. I think the one thing with compared to probably you or I think we might know the game a little bit better.
That's a good point. That's a great point. I say this all the time. My kid will go play baseball all day. He won't watch a baseball game. In terms of learning the game, do you feel that a lot of kids do that? They'll go play, but if you get into real high level technical advanced situations in baseball, which I watch the Cubs every day on TV, I knew what was going on. I don't think kids know that these days.
100%. I totally agree with that statement.
How do you change
that from coaching? That I mean, it's just they need to do more standlot type stuff like we did.
Is there any way to?
Yeah, we knew. We talked about it. We watched it. You know, you had to. We didn't have devices in our hands.
Well, I heard this said about basketball. I'll finish with this. That, like, in Europe, kids practice for 6 days a week, and then they play on one day a week. Here, kids play games every day. How can you get better as a young athlete if you're just playing games all the time as opposed to spending more time actually practicing it?
And that's a great statement because they say the European players are have way more fundamentals than the American players.
Yeah,
when it comes to basketball.
All right, Anthony, appreciate it, man. Good discussion, pal. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, talk to you soon, Corey. Thanks.
All right, good stuff. Anthony Snair from the Haldiesburg Area Summer Baseball League. Nathan, I want to bring you back in, though, because you said you played Little League Baseball. Did you enjoy Little League Baseball? Did you have a good experience with that?
I liked it. It was fun getting out there, you know, playing 2-3 times a week. I personally did enjoy baseball a lot.
Did you feel like, I'll harp on that last point that we discussed, did you feel like you knew? Now, this is a very generic question. Did you know how to play baseball, or were you just playing baseball?
I think it's somewhere in between, because I feel like from the fundamentals, like, I knew how to, like, maybe turn double play and stuff like that, you know, the footwork, but then at the same time, I didn't, you know, maybe know where, if I was on a shift, if we did shifts, I didn't know where to be placed there and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of, you know, both a little bit, because I thought I knew the fundamentals, but maybe more looking analytically into the game and stuff like that, I didn't know anything about
It's hard. I'm telling you, I've coached baseball for hell, almost 10 years now. And at every level, and even you see this with kids 14, 15 years old, you have to know where to go with the ball. And, okay, it's a very simple concept. If you're playing a position and there's nobody on and they hit you the ball, what do you do with it on the ground? You hit a grounder to you to a shortstop. What do you do?
There's no one on the ground?
No one on base.
You go to first.
Okay, and that's simple. But when you add a runner at first, you've increased the complexity of it a substantial amount. If you're the shortstop and the ball is hit right to you, you go to second. If the ball is hit to your right and you are in the hole, you're probably still going to go to second. If you have to come across the middle, well, now your momentum's going across the middle, you go to first. So you can tell a kid, hey, plays at two. But then the kid has to be able to decipher in a very, very quick amount of time if his body is in a different portion of the field. Now the play's not at two anymore. Okay, well, now you put a runner at first and second. And we'll deal with this with, like, say, a young shortstop. Runner at first and second. Plays second or third. Well, then now you have to know, the shortstop has to know, if my body's going to my right in the hole, I can just flick it to third. If my body's going up the middle, I can flick it to second. You have no idea how many little league shortstops, and the shortstop's supposed to be your best player on the team, how many little league shortstops I've seen with a runner at first, ground ball right to them, throw to first. It's like, and these are smart kids, very good kids that know what they're doing, and yet they have a brain fart that they forget that there's a runner at first, and all I've got to do is flick it here to second for the force out. And that's part of what I see, I think, that if you practice that 3 hours a day, every day, like I did when I was a kid, you would know it. I don't think that these kids play baseball, or I don't think they watch baseball enough and learn it enough. They play all these games, but I don't know that they truly do understand all of the ins and outs.
Agree, and I think a big thing is watching, you know, these major leaguers do it at a high level and stuff like that. You know, even going to the curve and just watching a game, sitting down, actually watching it, you might pick up on a few things, few different fundamentals. A lot of people aren't doing that, and that, I think, is a detriment. I think it's hurting these kids a little bit. You know, I think it is great that they're, you know, swinging the bats in ERA for, you know, hours, you know, every week, but at the same time, if you don't know how to turn double play, you know, that could cost you a run or two, which may cost you the game.
Hey,
so
we got a professional team right here, and I spent 2 decades. One of my favorite things to do, I would just walk around the ballpark. I would always talk to people. I hated being in the press box, really. So I would always walk around the ballpark, and I would see the kids and see friends. I did that for 20 years. And the number of kids I saw not watching the game was always huge. Mm-hmm. And now look, they're out on the hill playing with their friends. They're out doing whatever they're doing, and that's fine. You go to a game.
Absolutely, it's totally fun.
And you have fun,
yeah.
But they're not watching the game, is my point. And when I went, I mean, we had a double-A team nearby where I grew up, and we only got to go every now and then, but I sat there and I watched the game, and I'm scoring the game, and I'm learning the game.
Whenever you're scoring the game, I feel like you're just so dialed in.
And I do know a couple kids, like kids I've coached, some families that their kids will go to the curve games and they'll watch every pitch and they're locked in. But most kids are not doing that. Most kids are not. It's funny because we've got you can watch every major league game on TV now, but kids are home playing Fortnite and Call of Duty or whatever the heck they're playing. They're not watching games on TV.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of people don't watch baseball anymore, you know, especially the younger kids. Their attention span is not there to sit there for 2.5-3 hours just watch, you know, the Pirates and the Cardinals, for example. So it's tough. It's tough. But
now you're torturing them with the Pirates.
Well, you know what? They haven't been too bad recently.
They are playing better. Clarkson, what's up, man?
Well, there's so many more things to what you just said. Depends on the batter. Depends on the pitcher. Depends on what part of the lineup is up. The likelihood is some of these kids are going to get around on the ball. The ball's going to go to the second baseman. So if I'm the shortstop, I got to be anticipating to cover the bag. There's so many things, variables, when it comes to what you just talked about.
Yeah, and baseball is an unbelievably complicated game. Now, I will brag, I'm 50. I've seen and covered and watched literally 3,000 or 4,000 baseball games, maybe 5,000 baseball games, you know, and I feel like 99% of the plays that take place on a field, I would know exactly what to do. I don't think that kids nowadays do that. I think
they anticipate that the ball is going to come to them.
That's right.
And what do they do when they get the ball? You know, and where are they going to go with it? Their mind, like you're saying, ground ball to the shortstop. He's going to show what his arm is like and throw it over to first base, you know, or something. My experience with Little League, first of all, hearing that playoffs are starting, playoffs next week?
Well, what reason for that is, again, we had our Hollidaysburg team with Little League International. You've got to get this stuff going. They're on a very, very strict time schedule. Now, like my kid's Little League, my kid plays in two leagues. He plays in Hollidaysburg. I should mention this. Anthony Snare is his coach, and I really like Anthony. He does a great job.
Full disclosure.
But my kid also plays in Altoona, and our playoffs don't start until next week because our league is not associated with Williamsport. We don't have a deadline to get involved in these districts and regional tournaments.
Deadline is these travel teams, and there was something on the social media down here in one of the local counties where a parent was contesting, why are you not completing the season?
Sure.
And, what happened is they're not completing the season so they could get these kids dispersed out to their travel teams.
Yeah, travel ball is very, very popular and prominent now and profitable for a lot of organizations.
When I played Little League, we were not affiliated with, Williamsport. So our seasons would go, we probably didn't have playoffs until maybe the last week of July, first week of August or something.
Yeah.
And the 4th of July was actually an all-star game where we played somebody from another community because we had six Little League teams in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And then we had an all-star team. You played in that, and then you returned the favor to the other side somewhere else down the line later in the month or something. But no, nowadays it's the travel stuff is just gotten carried away with things, and you brought up an interesting thing regarding attention spans. Back in the day, there wasn't as much TV, so when you were a baseball fan, you listened to a lot of games on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more cerebral back then. Now I don't know how many kids actually listened to the games on the radio unless they were local.
Yeah, they don't watch on attention span with kids. Yep. Well, you might as well be talking about a completely foreign concept there.
All right, here we're going to go, and don't take this political. Does that lead to the demographics of Major League Baseball?
Well, yeah. Average Major League Baseball fan, I think, is 57 years old.
No, I meant the player makeup. You know, you're hearing
things. I got you.
You know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there.
Yeah, we'll go a different direction then.
Yeah, well, but anyway, that's obviously the growth of Central America and the islands and different things with players has just, gone way above the number than anybody thought it would ever happen. Right. But, no, it's different when I was playing, and we played probably 24 or 25 league games. But playoffs were stretched out, later in the year.
Yeah, I remember playing 20, 25 games, state tournaments and stuff like that. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, Clarkster. We got Bob in Altoona. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Corey. Good to talk to you again.
All right, man.
Hey, I want your take on this for kids, this new league for 13-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
What's your take on it?
I love it because here's the thing, okay? When you're 12, you play on a 46-foot mound and 60-foot bases. Now, there has been a significant push to 50-70, to 50-foot mound, 70-foot bases, and that has grown a significant amount in our country in the last, say, 5 to 10 years. My boy's 11. He plays 50-70. Now, he plays Little League as well, but he also plays in 50-70 travel ball. And so, and then you get into 13 years old, and 50-70 is not enough. So this new field is going to be 54 feet, 80. You have to be able to transition. Because what happens is at 12 years old, you're playing 46 feet, 60-foot bases. Then you get put on a man field at 60-foot mound, 90-foot bases. That's an unbelievably difficult jump for a 13-year-old. So the 54-80 transition, I think, is really smart, and it's appropriate because so many kids now are playing. They're helping the transition at 50-70, and then to go 54-80 for a year before just jumping straight into the man dimensions, I think is very beneficial. I think we're going to see a big, big push to 5480 around the whole country.
Okay, my take on it is, and you probably know, coaching Little League, the kids are so big today that kids who are 13, and I was 13, almost 14, it's like, you know, you're almost 14 playing. You should be playing, and my take on it is on the regulation major league field.
I just disagree with that because a lot of kids, you are dissuading kids from keeping on playing. Here's what you want, Bob. You want as many kids as possible playing as long as possible. And I think if you were a good player and you were a bigger kid, but not everybody in Little League is a big kid. So if you're 12 turning 13 and all of a sudden you've got to go 60-90, that's a difficult, difficult jump, and a lot of kids just quit. The number of kids who quit after Little League at 12 is a massive number.
I agree with that. But my take on it is the kids that are playing at 13 on pitching from 60 feet, 6 inches, which I did, and I was a little guy, but I was able to do it. I practiced doing it.
Yeah.
They have, to me, they seem like they have a big advantage of the next year from the kids who aren't used to playing.
I would agree. Obviously, and look, at 11, 12, 13, here's the thing. Kids go through growth spurts at different times. Some kids get it at 11. Some kids get it at 13. My point is you want kids to play baseball as long as possible, and then maybe they grow into their bodies and they become a better – just because you're a superstar at 10 doesn't mean you're going to be a superstar at 14.
And my take on it is, too, the big kids are just – it's at Little League, when you have a kid that's 6 feet, 180 pounds, it's kind of dangerous.
Yep.
A kid thrown out big.
It is very. No.
When they get then to 13, it's the great equalizer.
It is.
The great equalizer.
It is. The mound is when you go back to 60 foot and even 54 feet, it is a great equalizer. Hey, thanks for the call. Nathan, I want to pick your brain real quick before we jump off this. What turned you away from Little League? Why didn't you keep playing after that?
I guess I kind of just fell out of love with the game for a little bit for a few years. After 12, 13, I was more focused on school and stuff like that. And, like, I wasn't really, you know, like, hey, let me, you know, practice baseball year-round.
You got to practice all the time.
Exactly.
That's what happens.
Exactly.
Kids,
and that's why I wasn't the best player out there. I was always, you know, middle of the pack. But that was probably what turned me away is I just fell out of love with the game for a little bit. Then
that's
probably,
typical. I think that's typical of probably 75% of kids who quit after Little League. They have other things to do.
Mm-hmm. And then probably 16, 17, I started watching again, started to get back into it, and it's kind of too late at that point.
All right, hey, we got a special treat. Nathan's taking over the show after this. He's going to be in charge for the last 15 minutes or so.
Taking a look at the point standings from NASCAR's Cup Series heading into New Hampshire this weekend. 5-1, Martin Truex Jr. is 61 points back of the lead. Then you got William Byron, Denny Hamlin number 3, Kyle Larson is only 8 back despite missing a full race, and his teammate Chase Elliott is the points leader. Go Bowling is sponsoring AJ Allmendinger in a third Colic Racing Cup Series machine at Watkins Glen coming up on September 15th. The number 13 car is red and black with bowling pins and a ball at the rear quarter panel of the machine. AJ Allmendinger said, quote, "I'm excited to get there and have Go Bowling on the cup car. This is a fun partnership. I had a blast in the PBA NASCAR Invitational at Phoenix in the spring. I actually used to be on a bowling league growing up, so it's cool to have bowling cross paths with my racing career now," end quote. Daniel Suarez is officially an American citizen, as he was sworn in on Tuesday along with 47 other new citizens. The ceremony took place at the Charlotte Field Office of the U.S. Citizenship with NASCAR President Steve Phelps on hand, his fiancée, as well as other Trackhouse Racing team members. He was the 2016 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion, of course, notching 3 wins in 2016, and has since captured 2 Cup Series wins, including 1 this season, which, as you know, puts him into the playoffs. Congratulations, Daniel. I spoke to him one time, and he said he learned English by watching Friends. You're on the final lap.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat? I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
If you need bold banners to boost your business, but you're on a budget, think Staples. Because now at Staples, you can save up to $50 on your print purchase. From posters and flyers to signs and menus, Staples can print anything you need to move your business forward. And with Staples Print Perfect Guarantee, it's done right or it's printed again free. Plus, same-day service is available on hundreds of items if you order by noon. Get it printed right at Staples. And now get up to $50 off your print purchase. And 7-6, visit staples.com/print for details.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome here to Sports Central with Corey Geiger. I am Nathan, taking over the hosting for the last 10 minutes or so here. Before we get into it, got to give a shout out to our sponsor, J.M. Boswell's. Without a great cigar for you and your friends, visit J.M. Boswell's before hunting, fishing, tailgating, or even a great football game. Don't show up to that tailgate party or hunting trip with your friends without a cigar from J.M. Boswell, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. And are always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe. So, we're going to get into a little conversation in the NFL here. So a few months back on the Pat McAfee Show, Roger Goodell announced that the NFL is looking for a 18-game regular season in which there'll be a second bye week added, and that the Super Bowl will fall on the day before President's Day, making it a three-day weekend and kind of giving a Super Bowl Monday, you know, type thing off for people working and stuff like that. A great concept that Goodell and other owners are trying to push. However, there is some backlash from, you know, the players, Players Association, because this is another game on their bodies. And if you have any thoughts on this, please call in at 946-0435. I'm going to get Corey's take on this too. So a lot of Steelers players are actually asked about this with veteran DeMonte KZ. He said, you know, whatever the league throws at you, you just kind of got to roll with the punches here. He's been in there. He's 31 years old. He's seen a lot of changes. The NFL, of course, went from 16 to 17 games a couple years back and is now looking forward to 18 games, probably in the near future. So, Corey, initial thoughts. What do you think about an 18-game season?
I don't like it because I am all about player safety. This is all about player money. I think it's very obvious what the NFL is trying to do here. Every game is worth a ton of money. And so they say out of one side of their mouth that they're about player safety, and then out of another side of their mouth they're trying to add an 18th game. Those are contradictory types of things. So I'm against it. It's going to happen. If they want it to happen, it's going to happen because it's just more money.
Exactly. So if you think the players' union can, you know, kind of negotiate, you know, players to get more money, you think it's fair enough, or you think it kind of still outweighs the fact that players' health is in jeopardy?
That's the great question. If the players can make more money, then yes, that's the concession the NFL will make to allow it to happen, like through their collective bargain and everything. But this is where, to be perfectly honest with you, the NFL players are stupid. and they're making the decision for the wrong reasons, because we won't know the impact over this, you know, for generations. But if we're going to give you an extra $200,000-$400,000 because we're going to play an extra game, we've also just increased your chances for more concussions, more ACLs, more injuries. So what's the logistical dynamic of the extra game? And yeah, you're going to get more money versus how much damage can we do to your body? Might we shorten your career half a year or a year down the road that you'll lose more money ultimately?
Do you think the second bye week can help at all? Do you think that would be like, you know, kind of a refresher for guys, maybe take some strain off injuries for a week?
I like that. I do like that concept. And there's plenty of games. There's still going to be games during the bye week because the NFL can spread this whole thing out very, very, very well. And again, this is going to happen.
I'm
100% confident this is going to happen. I just don't know that the players are capable. I've asked this question before, Nathan. I'm going to give you $20 million. You can play in the NFL for 5 years. You're going to die at 47. You taking that deal at 21, 22, 23 years old?
I would not. Personally, I wouldn't.
I think most people would. I probably would. They know what they're getting into. I'm going to give you $20 million. You're going to set up your family for 100 years, and you're going to die between 47 and 52. Or you're going to have ALS, or you're going to have some severe type of thing.
Yeah, it's rough knowing that, like, you know, these players, you know, lifespans are just drastically cut short. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, we're talking 30 years probably off of the average American.
Young people live for today. They live for the decision. They live for, you know, I want to play football. So they would take that.
Exactly. So ESPN surveyed players. What percentage would you think are actually on board with 18 games? So out of 100%.
Good question. If I had to guess what's on board right now, I'd say 30%.
We're looking at 46%.
So half.
So almost half of the league is on board with 18 games. But it's all about the money, though, probably. Like, oh, I'm getting paid an extra game salary right here. Because let's say, you know, you make $34 million this year. That's going to go to $36 million just because of the extra game. So, you know, I feel like that's the only reason that this number is, you know, so high. But, you know, it's – and of that 46%, 8% people say, like, hey, you give me the same salary. Wouldn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I just want to play an extra game of football. So you have like 8% of people actually saying – hey, listen, I love the game of football. I want to just go out there for an extra week and sacrifice my body.
If they're doing that, then take some other steps. Get rid of the kickoff. Get rid of some other things that are going to take potential injuries. Change some other things. We're going to take one call here. We got Dan on the line. Dan wanted to get back to the Little League subject. Dan, you're going to get the final word here. What's up?
Well, no, I'm not going to steal Nate's thunder because he did an outstanding job with the commercial. And leading up to the NFL topic, see, so I don't want to steal his thunder, so I'm going to call back some other time and see. Well, listen, I know you're at a hard break now, but I'll have time to talk to Nathan and you, Corey, is natural. But like I say, and you got to be proud of him too, Corey, the way he handled that commercial and then leading in to the topic away from the Little League.
How much did you pay Dan to call in and say this stuff? Thanks, Dan.
All right.
No, we're good. That's good, Dan. I appreciate that because this is a chance for Nathan to kind of get his feet wet with all that. He is doing a great job. I just want to know if you called Dan to call and suck up to you.
Nah, I didn't want to call Dan. I didn't tell him, hey, listen, call in. You know, make Corey seem like I'm the new host of the show right here. I did not give him that. So, stay tuned. Other side, Sports Central with Corey Geiger.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House offers residential treatment for adult males affected by drug or alcohol addiction. Their facility is located in the Fairview Hills section of Altoona and is licensed to house 16 adult male residents who are seeking halfway house treatment services. Phoenix Domus is actively looking for referrals. Email referrals at phoenixdomus.com or call 814-515-2055. Rise above the grips of addiction. Let Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House help.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Eminem leading us into the final segment right here. Welcome back to Sports Central.
Can you rap this?
I can rap. I'm not going to do it on air.
I'm not going to do it either, but I can rap this. There's vomit on your sweaty mom's spaghetti. That's
exactly.
Good stuff, man.
It is good stuff. Sports Central here with Corey Geiger. This is Nathan Ferlina talking right now, hosting for the last 2 minutes right here. So I want to thank everybody who called in today. We had a nice little conversation with Anthony Snare, president of the Hollidaysburg Little League, talking about that impact from the Hollidaysburg team a few years ago. Touched on J.J. Redick going to the Lakers at the beginning, along with Michael Jordan and if his legacy will survive, and then wrapped it up with a little NFL talk about 18 games. Corey, what's your biggest takeaway of the day?
You know what? That whole NFL thing, I wish we had more time. Maybe we'll do this next week when you come back, because it is going to happen. But I don't always believe that players have their best interests in heart when the money gets involved.
Absolutely. Money rules everything. Cash is king. So, sometimes you make dumb decisions based on that. A lot of wealthy people do that in life. Again, I want to give a shout out to J.M. Boswell's Pipe. So, take care, everybody. See you tomorrow.
This is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC, 1370 AM, 96.1 FM. Roaring Spring, Altoona, a service of Leitner Communications.